The book of Acts, chapter number 1, and I'm going to direct you to verse number 8. Of course, a very familiar verse, and we'll use this as a starting point tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you take the message tonight and, Lord, allow us to just reaffirm some things. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to keep the focus, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, where it ought to be, where it needs to be. And, Lord, we rejoice in the number of folks we've seen saved of late. We want to continue that, dear God, for your honor and glory. Lord, use us, please, to be witnesses for you, dear God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Pastor Nichols was here several years ago. This is B.A.J.'s dad, my son-in-law's father, Pastor Nichols, Pastor Steve Nichols. And he was preaching to our church, and he made a statement that I wrote down because I thought it was excellent. He said this: I don't only believe in making the right decisions in life, I believe in reaffirming the right decisions you have already made. And I like that statement. I do. I think sometimes if you're not careful, you come to church and you know what? You start out in your Christian life and you make this decision, that decision, that decision, that decision. Okay, I've made all the major decisions. I can sit in my pew the rest of my life because I'm good to go. I'm going to give you a great secret in your Christian life that'll help you keep a heart tender to the things of the Lord. Every single time something is preached on that I've already made a decision about, I decide to decide again to make that same decision. You could call it reaffirming that decision. For instance, you say, maybe you're a young person, a preacher. Several years ago, I was at a camp or a conference, and somebody preached on purity, and you know what I did? I went forward and made a vow of purity. You know what you ought to do the next time you hear a sermon on purity? Come forward and say, Lord, I want to tell you that I remember the vow that I made, and I'm reaffirming that vow. You see, folks, listen to me. This whole idea of just making a handful of decisions and then you're done, you never have to do anything for the Lord, those decisions will go away in your life and be forgotten in your life if you do not reaffirm them. All through the scriptures, and I almost was tempted to take you on a little journey here, but all through the scriptures, it's amazing how many times God used the Apostle Paul to pen this type of a phrase: I stir you up by way of remembrance. And I'm saying all that to say this. I believe that there's things that we do here at the church that have kind of been regulated to a certain time of year. For instance, Brother Tom got up and he led us in a song this morning, and we found ourselves in July singing, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. And if you're not careful, you can say, well, preacher, wait a minute. He's not supposed to sing that. That's an Easter song. Well, I think the resurrection would be a good thing to celebrate every Sunday. Matter of fact, I preached a message once entitled Every Sunday is Easter Sunday, and told you that the history, the basis of changing our assembly day from the Sabbath to Sunday was in celebration and recognition of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in a sense, every time we meet on Sunday, we're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Tom, every once in a while, we'll get up in July or August or September and lead us in a couple Christmas carols. And again, there's something inside of us that say, now, wait a minute, don't do that. That needs to be regulated to December. And I said all that to say this. You know what? We take the month of February here, and what we do in the month of February is we wholeheartedly give ourselves over to this idea of being challenged and recommitted to worldwide missions. But I just kind of think that going from one February to the next is way too long of a stretch not for us to stop once or twice and reaffirm our commitment to worldwide missions. And that's what I'm going to do tonight. I won't preach a lengthy message, but I just want to stir our hearts. You know all that you felt in your heart in February and all that God did in your hearts for stirring you? And thank God for the missionaries that came in and challenged us and all of that that happened. And preacher, I made some commitments and I made some pledges and I made some determinations. Let's all decide that we're just going to go back and reaffirm all of that. Let's take that whole spirit of February and bring it into a Sunday night service here in July. And let's have our hearts stirred, folks. Listen to me. I believe we must do what Christ said and lift up our eyes and see the harvest. And listen, the harvest is plenteous, the labors are few, and stir our hearts. We've got to stay stirred about this at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. So I'm going to take two areas of worldwide missions and just present them to you tonight in remembrance, stirring your hearts by way of remembrance. Number one, I want us to reaffirm our commitment to the biblical philosophy of worldwide missions. There's just some things that need to be said from the pulpit several times a year. I believe that a small town church can have a worldwide impact for Jesus Christ. Not only do I believe a small town church can have, I think a small town church should have a worldwide impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can only do this by basing our missionary philosophy firmly on the Word of God. Many times your pastors brought you back to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Many times I've told you, why don't you circle what the most important word in here? By the way, that word to me is the basis of what we do, and that's the word both. Notice, if you will, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And what he's challenging the Church of Jesus Christ to do is, yes, impact your Jerusalem. And by the way, it's listed first, and it should be the primary focus of our evangelistic and witnessing activity. But he said, hey, while you are impacting your Jerusalem, simultaneously make sure that you're impacting your Judea. And what a timely message for us during these couple months that we've just said, hey, folks, you know what? I get it. Maybe we're going to let some things go around here a little bit. But, man, we've got an opportunity to plant a new church. Let's impact our Judea. You know, when God first began to stir me about our responsibility to our Judea ministries and that Judea impact, several years ago, God just got on me about this. And I can remember the very first time I walked to the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I said to our folks, I want to set before you something that I'm just stirred and I know God wants us to do. And what I had done was I had found a church planter in southern Indiana, a man and a wife that was down there and working hard and struggling and trying to get something started. And I said, I met this young man. He's down there. He's sincere. He's dedicated. Him and his wife feel by themselves. Folks, listen to me. We've never done this at Blessed Hope before, but I want to take all of our soul winners and all of our soul winning efforts and all our bus ministry people, and for one Saturday, instead of us doing what we normally do here, I want you to load on a bus with me. Let's drive down. We drove a couple hours, and for about 5 or 6 hours that day, we knocked on doors and were an encouragement to that young couple. We showed up and we unloaded 2 or 3 weeks worth of groceries, first thing we did. And then we said, let's go knock doors and see if we can pull out some prospects for them. And then, of course, we got to spend some time with the pastor and his wife and his kids. And when I left, I gave him a handshake and left him several $100 bills in their hand and said, listen to me, you're not alone. You got a sister church. We're praying for you. We love you. And I remember pulling off out of their driveway of that ministry and looking back and watching tears run down the eyes of their face, because, folks, listen to me, there's a lot of people that are trying to pastor in areas that are difficult. And you know what? They can't imagine walking in and having the support and the size of the congregation we have tonight. And they're just pioneers. They're just out there on the front lines. They're just trying to get something going. And you know what, folks? We have an opportunity to be able to impact. Next October, we're going to do that again, by the way. We're going to go over to Effingham, Illinois, and we're going to take a Saturday. Of course, we're doing this month with the Princeton thing. Next March, I've got an opportunity. I'm going to ask a group of us to go over to Sellersburg and help Brother Harris get that thing restarted and reignited. And you know what? What are we doing? We're fulfilling what God asked us to fulfill. I'll be honest with you. The very first time I did it, I mean, you know what? You present something new to Baptist people, and they have to look at it an awful long time. They just have to kind of stare at it for a long time. But you got on board, and you did it. And there's also a part of me as a pastor that says, boy, I hope it doesn't just destroy our Sunday. You know, here we are. We're putting all our efforts in another field of service. And I'll never forget the very first time we did a Judea project. We came in on a Sunday morning, having hardly labored at all in the fields of our Jerusalem. And we had that Sunday 16 first-time visitors at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now let me tell you what I think God was saying there. He was saying, you know what, if you'll follow my formula, I'll take care of you. Now, I'm not saying we should or could do that every Saturday, but folks, we have an obligation that's beyond just the circle that we've identified as our Jerusalem. We have an obligation to be an encouragement. I look at Southern Indiana as our Judea. I love Indiana. I'm a Hoosier, born here, raised here. I've got a passion and a heart for Southern Indiana. Much of Southern Indiana is still a mission field. And folks, there's good men that God's brought into this community, and they should not feel like that they're alone. And so I'm talking about both philosophy. And then, of course, we ought to try to impact our country, and then we ought to try to impact the world. Now, all I'm doing is representing this tonight. All I want to do is say, hey, let's not forget this. Let's not to drop the ball on this. Yes, it ought to start with our Jerusalem. So first of all, we ought to try to saturate our city and our community and our Jerusalem with the gospel. Now, folks, that's done through door-to-door soul winning. There's no other way to saturate your Jerusalem with the gospel short of taking the gospel to every door. I'm glad for the radio ministry that we have, but not everybody listens to the radio. Okay, not listen to a Christian station. I'm glad for the other ministries that we have, but the only way that we can do what Jesus said as far as carrying the gospel to every creature is we have to get out there in the highways and byways. We have to hit the doors. We have to present the gospel. Sometimes people aren't home, but thank God they can go home and find the gospel waiting for them when they get home. We have to be committed to door-to-door soul winning. By the way, for those that want to declare that the bus ministry doesn't work anymore, you know what? I got this to say to them, yeah, you're right. It doesn't work if you're not willing to work it. What they really are saying is not that the bus ministry don't work anymore. They say they don't want to work anymore. And that's the real issue, the real problem. But the bus ministry is alive and well here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We need to keep it going. I like that. Door-to-door soul winning, married to the bus ministry. If I win somebody to Christ or sign up a new family to come to church anywhere in our Jerusalem, you know what I can tell them? Hey, by the way, if you don't have transportation, we can bring a bus by and pick you up. That's pretty exciting. That's a blessing. Not too many ministries could say that in America today. Go anywhere in our Jerusalem. Win someone to Christ or find a family that needs a ride to church and we can provide them. We're able to do that because of the army of faithful bus workers we have here. Boy, I prayed for you this afternoon. I mean that. And I thought of you, but when I was walking out to the car this afternoon or this evening to go to the service, and probably a dozen different times I stopped today and not only prayed for our bus riders, but prayed for our bus workers. And folks, on a day like this, good night, I always say this is extra rewards in heaven day, amen, if you're in the bus ministry. Thank you for being faithful during these hot summer months. I'm talking about saturating our Jerusalem. It has to start there. Every individual surrendering to be a missionary to your individual mission fields. And I think we have to have a missionary mentality. We don't just support missionaries. We are to be missionaries. And I believe this. Everyone in here that's saved, you're a missionary. Your family is a mission field. If you got lost family members, commit to pray, commit to witness. Don't give up till you get them to Christ. Your neighborhood that you live in is a mission field. I don't think God allows anybody here to live where you are by accident. You know what? Just don't drive by and wave at your neighbors. Go across the street and talk to them about the Lord. You know what? I think of how much was at stake and what God brought out of a young couple living outside of Brazil, Indiana, by the name of Jerry and Ruth Purcell, that just took interest in Bob and Donna Ross, a lost young couple with four kids that just happened to move into the area. How could we have known? How could they have known? They couldn't. That they weren't just trying to win their neighbors to Christ. That, you know what, that they, Brother Ross would go on to start a church and surrender to the ministry, and his son would end up in the ministry and his other children serving the Lord. I mean, folks, think about that. What would have happened if they just decided, you know what, they're not my problem. They're not my responsibility. And so your neighborhood is a mission field. Your place of employment is a mission field. I think where you work at, God gave you that job for a reason and on purpose, not just to provide for your family, but I think also to have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, your church ministries involve you with mission field opportunities in your own Jerusalem. I'm breaking this down. Don't forget, we're talking about the word both. And so let's be busy in our Jerusalem while we impact the state with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Southern Indiana, through our Judea projects, through encouraging pastors in our region, through church planting efforts in Southern Indiana that we're involved in right now. Preacher, how can I impact our nation with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I believe, first of all, we need to pray. In fact, that'd be a good thing to put on the list of everything. I said this just recently, and I've started saying it, and I'm going to say it some more. Everything that we plan around here, when we're planning out the steps as far as what we need to do to make it successful, just always put number one, pray. Because anything that doesn't start with prayer usually flops. Amen. And so let's pray about that. I think America, we need to pray for America. We can complain about America. Can we take time to pray for America? Impact your nation with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do that in a lot of different ways. Thank God for the home missions trips that we've been able to take outside of our Judea and the encouragement that we are. Brother Ryan Nez, we've already decided and committed, and I know the Lord wants us to do that, but next June we're going to head out to the Navajo Indian Reservation and help him conduct his very first VBS and his very first summer of his first church. He's starting his church in Arizona a week after Brother Reiser starting his church in Princeton. You say, preacher, shouldn't you be focused on this? I think I ought to be focused on everything, amen? And so I'm excited about what he's doing out there. This is how you remember his name. Every time he talks about he was raised on the reservation, so he never says reservation. He always says the res. You know, I was raised in deep res. And at first he keeps talking about being what? And then I realized that's their slang for the reservation, you know. And so it's Brother Nez going to reach the res. I mean, it was like it was foreordained. I mean, come on now. And I love it, man. So I'm always saying, Brother Rez, how we doing on, or Brother Nez, how we doing on the res, you know. And so I'm going to tell you can be 54 and cool. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. At least in your own mind, you can be. And so you impact our nation with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through home missions trips, we have an opportunity. And if you get a chance to go on one of these things, man, jump on and go. Supporting home missionary projects. And you know how I feel about this. I don't really like this separation where people talk about home missions and foreign missions. I just think it's all missions, you know. Anything outside the front door there, that's a mission field. And so, you know what, we support a lot of missionary works and endeavors and church plants right here in our own United States of America. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. There was a day, and I'm not talking about that long ago, 20, 30 years ago, where a lot of pastors just were closed to the idea of supporting church plants in their own country. They just kind of had this mentality of, well, if you're going to go start a church, then you know what, go get a job. That's the way I did it, and I get all of that. But folks, listen to me. If we don't start getting serious about reaching this country, if you haven't noticed, it's going under. I mean, we're not going to lose it. We are losing it. And I believe we've got to focus a lot more of our monies and our efforts into reaching and preserving our own nation, because America is a mission field. It's a mission field. And then I want to say this, and I say it from time to time, but another way that this church impacts our nation is by sharing your pastor. And I don't try to take advantage of that, but from time to time as the Lord opens doors. Last week I was down preaching a teen camp, and we had 9 people saved. By the way, 9 people saved, including one lady counselor that walked the aisle Thursday night, received Jesus Christ as her Savior. Several young people surrendered her to the ministry. And folks, listen to me. You know what? I have a burden that goes beyond just our Jerusalem. This is our primary. This is where I spend most of my time. But from time to time, thank you for allowing me to go and listen, we're not just trying to save a state or a city. We're trying to save America. And so we've got to be willing to give ourselves to that. And then impacting the world. So how do we do this? This both, we saturate our community, our city through door-to-door soul winning, bus ministry, beginning to view our areas as mission fields, impacting our state through Judea projects, encouragement ministries to other ministries, other pastors in our region, church planting in Southern Indiana, encouraging church planters in Southern Indiana, impacting our nation through supporting church plants, home missions trips, home missionary projects, prayers and all of that, and then impacting the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the most part, folks, we do through missions giving. And I believe that, you know what, a healthy missions program is a sign of a church that's in a good place with the Lord. And there's a lot of things that I use when I kind of look at a church and determine a church and maybe judge a church as far as whether I'd want to one day be a member of it or not. One of it is I'd like to find some place called Missionary Hall. First thing I want to do when I go out visiting and go preaching in churches is I'm real interested in what they're doing. Are they selfish? They're trying to keep all the money right there in the building? Or they have a heart to go out and to support worldwide missions? Because, folks, listen to me, some of the most remarkable, amazing things are happening outside of the United States of America. Thailand in the last 5 or 6 years is absolutely seeing revival. The Philippines, probably the spot in the world that's seeing the closest thing to a country worldwide or a nationwide revival is in the islands of the Philippines. China, believe it or not, very quietly. And there's a reason that the Chinese authorities have started this crackdown on home churches and are doing what they're doing right now. Let me tell you the reason why. They're looking around. It's getting out of hand. And Chinese house churches are just mushrooming across a communist nation. You know what? I think God kind of looks down at America and says, you know, I'd love to work here, but if y'all aren't interested, there's a lot of other places I can go in the world and bring revival. And it's happening. And you know what? I want to be able to put some money in the plate and be a part of that. I mean that. And if I'm going to put my tithes and offerings into a church, you know what? I'd like to get a little return on it. I'd like to be a part of a church that see people saved on a regular basis in their Jerusalem, and also receiving people saved in their Judea through influence, and across the country through influence, and through America. You want to get excited and you want to re-energize your missionary giving? Just take some time, folks, and wander up and down Missionary Hall and read some of those letters. I'm going to tell you, some amazing, miraculous things are happening, God's using this church as a catalyst for helping those things happen. And I just believe in it. I believe in it. I believe in it. I'm glad that we support Bearing Precious Seed. It's not a matter of just sending missionaries. It's a matter of getting them Bibles. You know, they've got to have the Word of God. I'm appreciative of ministries that are into Bible printing and radio programs. Folks, your pastor's radio program, because of it being on the web and available on website now, and it is touching the world. Not just touching the community. Not just the 5 or 6 radio stations that we're on in the country, but Brother Klein from time to time will print off all of the different people that have gotten on and listened to messages off of our website. And folks, I mean, it's across the world. And what I'm saying is, you know what? We have a great opportunity because of some of the technology that's involved in. Now, how do you impact the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Missions giving, missionary support and encouragement. By the way, those of you that have adopted a missionary family, hey, stop what you're doing by the end of this month. Let's do another thing for them. Let's do something good for them. Let's re-energize that. Let's bring that to the forefront. Thank you for those that have kept up on that. But I want to tell you something else. We can send money and we can support those that are sending Bibles, but I want you young people to listen to me for a minute. You know what? It'd be a shame if we're willing to send our money, but we're not willing to send our own. And I want to just take a minute and say, one of the ways that God's allowed Blessed Hope Baptist Church to impact our Judea and our Samaria and even to the uttermost is through the sending of our young people into full-time Christian service. And I think every young person needs to be open to the idea that God may end up calling you to the mission field. And by the way, if he does that, you should feel honored. What a privilege it would be for God to speak to your heart about maybe being a missionary. And so I want you to be open to these ideas, reaffirming our commitment to worldwide missions. We do that, number one, by reaffirming our commitment to the biblical philosophy of worldwide missions. Number two, reaffirming our commitment to supporting worldwide missions through sacrificial giving. Go, if you will, over to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And I want to remind you, reread some verses we all need to hear from time to time. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 10. Of course, the Apostle Paul was a missionary. The church of Philippi, the Philippian people, were faithful in supporting Paul's missionary efforts. Verse number 10 of chapter 4, the book of Philippians. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying, listen, I'm committed to this idea of worldwide evangelism, and I have to fulfill the call of God on my life. And if that means people are helping me and I abound a little bit, then I'm going to do it. If I have to be abased, I'm going to do it. If I can do it full, I'm going to do it. But if I have to do it hungry, I'm going to do it. Gee, folks, the call of God's without repentance, okay? It's not you do it as long as you're living on Easy Street. You do it, period. I mean, you do it if you eat rice and beans. You do it if you come home and you're eating crackers and bologna. You make a commitment to it. You do it. You do it. And so he said, I know how I've lived both ways. But he said, boy, and then he says this, you know, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I got to do whatever I got to do. But then he says this in verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. For I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And folks, this portion of scripture, of course, is encouraging us in this matter of missions giving. And when we give to help missionaries, you know what? Part of everything that God uses them to accomplish goes to our account. Now, that keeps me putting money in the offering plate. I want to be a part of everything that's going on back there, both the things that are going on in our country and the things that are going on around the world. I want to be a part of all of it. And so I believe this. If we're going to reaffirm our commitment to supporting worldwide missions through sacrificial giving, then missions giving, number one, should be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. And I believe you understand, the Bible teaches, your tithes and your offerings go to primarily and first of all to your church. But above that, you know what? You ought to pray and consider what God would have you to commit to worldwide missions. We have in every pew, in the back of every pew, envelopes. And one of them there is marked for missions, our missions account and our missionary efforts. And you know what? Everything that you put in that envelope, put in the plate, that's exactly where it goes. All of our offerings every single Sunday morning during Sunday school. And by the way, Sunday school teachers, I talk about this. It wouldn't be a bad thing for you about once a month to maybe grab a letter out of a box or a missionary card and walk down and remind the young people, hey, when we pass the envelope around, I want you to understand that everything that you give during this hour, during Sunday school, these are the kind of people that you're helping, and this is what's happening as a result. I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't just casually pass up that Sunday school offering plate. I just wouldn't. And I know other people may have other ways of giving and doing it faithfully, but I just think it's something we need to be committed to. Tithes and offerings to the local assembly, building fund. On Wednesday night, everything that comes in goes into our building fund account, not only to fund future building projects, but also to just maintain what we have around here. And of course, 2 Kings chapter 12, we've read that before. You know what? The house of the Lord got in disarray. They took a chest, bored a hole in the lid of it, put it beside the altar, and you know what? People gave, and they rectified that situation. And you know what? There's something about having buildings. Okay, you homeowners, the joys of homeownership, amen. All your life, you wanted to own your own place. Well, guess what? Now you got to fix everything that breaks. And you find out part of home ownership is upkeep. Well, guess what? Part of having the facilities God given us is upkeep. And so we have this idea of a giving strategy. Tithes and offerings, building fund on Wednesday nights, missions giving, Sunday school, and on designated offerings. And if you just faithfully give to those three areas of your church, God will put his blessing upon you. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And what he was saying this is this. God's going to be as generous to supply your needs as you are in your generosity towards worldwide missions. And so that's also maybe a selfish reason, but a good enough reason for me to want to be faithful in this matter of giving to missions. So missions giving should be a part of every Christian's giving strategy. I think parents, let me encourage you to do this. Children and young people should be trained to give to missions. You should train them to tithe. You should train them to support the home church. But you also ought to train them in this matter of faithfully, regularly giving to missions. You want the blessing of God upon your children? One of those ways of securing God's blessing on your life? Then teach them and train them from their youth to be involved in missions giving. I know this. God blesses missions-minded churches. And the testimony of thousands of churches is this. You know what? If you're willing to support worldwide missions, God's willing to support you. And we've just got to stay faithful on that. The last thing I want to cover real quickly in this matter of reaffirming our commitment to worldwide missions through sacrificial giving is this. You know what? Your heart for the world expands or diminishes according to your missions giving. Isn't it Jesus that says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also? God always has specifically directed me in my giving. I believe that this is how we handle things at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We tell you if you pray about it, and I mean sincerely pray, just don't make up your mind up what you think you ought to do. Get before the Lord. And whatever the Lord tells you to do, you know what, if you'll obey that, it'll be good, it'll be right. And so, you know what, when you give towards worldwide missions, wherever your treasure goes, there will your heart go also. And so people that have a heart for the lost and heart for souls and heart for their church and heart for the world, if you look at them, you usually figure out that it's because they're givers. And they give to those things, and because of that, God directs them. So here we are in July, and we're a distance from February. And I wanted to go back tonight and recapture a little bit of that. Isn't it exciting what God's allowed us to be a part of right here in this year of 2016? Brother Reiser, Mrs. Reiser, we pray for you. We pray for the kids. We pray God's blessing upon what he's doing already and what he's going to do. And I mean this, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, do you feel like I do? It's an honor to be a part of something like this. I can't wait to hear about what happens on September 4th, but not just that opening Sunday, but all through the next few months. I just expect and anticipate God doing some miraculous things. And so, hey, isn't it neat? Let's just keep being a part of this thing. Let's just keep going. I was giving Brother Nathan a hard time one time, and he said about working so hard. And he said, well, preacher, if you keep starting these churches, some of us have to work in order to be able to pay for all this stuff. And so, I guess, amen. It's not often he wins an argument with me, but I didn't know really what else I could say at that point. So I'm like, all right, shut up and go back to work then. I mean, amen. Thank you, church, for having a heart for this. Thank you for just not, listen, let's not become selfish. We just can't. And I love Blessed Hope, and I know what we're doing here is primary, top of the list. But boy, we can't just be worried about us. A church that starts looking inward and stops looking outward will be a church that starts developing a lot of problems. Where's your eyes, church? Where's your eyes? Are you more concerned about the inward drama of Blessed Hope Baptist Church or the outward assignment and commission given to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Get your eyes out of the gutter. Get it off your Facebook page. Lift it up into the fields that ripe unto harvest. And let's recommit to this idea of reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would stir something within us, dear God. Lord, there's so much to do. And I believe so little time. So little time. And Lord, I read the headlines and I look at what's going on in the world. And I think, even so, come quickly. And Lord, I also then think, you have to be coming. And there's so little time. There's so much to do. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd continue to keep us focused on reaching the world, impacting the world with the gospel. I pray, Lord, that you'd help that responsibility of that to settle on the shoulders of every single person of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. May we not be able to excuse it away as we preached on this morning. May we not be able to push it off on somebody else as if it's not our responsibility. Lord, help us to be very mission-minded this week in our everyday lives. May we take the time out of our busy schedule to stop and talk to that neighbor. May we be willing to and have the boldness and courage to hand the gospel tract to a fellow employee, a co-worker. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, to maybe write a letter to that family member that we know that's lost and just share once again our testimony in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be active and busy according to the leading of your Spirit in all of these things. We pray in Jesus' name.